This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون. وأشهد أنه بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاد حتى أتاه اليقين. فصلوات الله وسلامه وتبركاته عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن صار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء. واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها المسلمون، الله سبحانه وتعالى has given us a parable in the Quran when he says, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيِّتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا كَذَلِكَ زُيِّنَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that is the one who is dead, the one who is dead, and then we granted him life and granted him a light so that he may walk amongst mankind, like the one who is in total darkness, and thus we have glorified and beautified the actions of the disbelievers to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this noble ayah gives the parable of two people. One who is dead and then was brought to life and granted a light. And then another who is left in the darkness. If you refer to the tafsir of this ayah, Imam al-Tabari rahimahullahu ta'ala mentions in this ayah that the one who is dead and then brought to life and granted this light is the believer. That after not knowing Tawheed, after not knowing the beauty of Islam, after not knowing and having tasted the sweetness of Iman, he is granted all of this. And thus, he is like the one who is dead and then brought to life. And not only does he help himself, but with this nur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, he guides not only himself, but his family, his friends, and everyone else around him. Now take the exact opposite. And the opposite is what the other parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala portrayed for us. The one who remains in this darkness. Is there any comparison between the two? And what is this darkness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to? The darkness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to is to those people, or for those people who do not know Islam and do not know Iman. So now look at this parable. And now look at how great this deen of Islam is. With it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only protects you and beautifies you and makes you of those who are respected and honored in this world, but likewise, it is the premier cause of you entering Jannah. Now look at the opposite. Those people who do not know Islam, what is their state? Not only will they feel dissatisfied and feel tight-chested in this world, but rather in the Akhirah, their abode will be Jahannam as well. So now, we see from this parable that there are two things that every Muslim needs to learn. What is Tawheed and what is Shirk? Tawheed is Islam, and Shirk is everything and anything besides it. Now, the best definition that I have come across is the definition that says that Tawheed is إفراد المعبود بالعبادة مع الاعتقاد وحدانيته ذاتا وصفاتا وأفعالا. That Tawheed is to singlify and unify the Creator or the worshipped in His worship. It is to singlify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in His worship, while believing that He is one. مع اعتقاد وحدانيته ذاتا. He is one in His essence. وصفاتا. In all of His attributes. وأفعالا. And in His actions. So, to break down this definition of Tawheed. Tawheed, the primary aspect of Tawheed is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. That we worship none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we testify to when we say the Shahada. وَأَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That there is no one worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it consist of? It consists of three main things. Those three main things being the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or what may translate as the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one in His creation, in destroying, in granting life, in taking it away, in granting us risk, in taking the risk away. This is what the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means, or the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, as Muslims, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one in His names and attributes. That any name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself with, whether it be Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min Al-Muhaymin, all these names, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one in all of them. And likewise, in His attributes. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms that He gets happy, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms that He gets angry and upset, we affirm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which He affirms for Himself. And we negate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which He negates for Himself. Without any distortion or asking as to the howness or anything of that sort. Now, the most important of them, and which is the third, is the uluhiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the illustrious companion, was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he asked, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Mu'adh, Ya Mu'adh, do you know what is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His slaves? And Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, being humble, he said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. To which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His slaves is that they should worship none but He. This is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon all of us. And likewise, if you look through the Quran, you would see that the prohibition that takes place the most is none other than shirk. And likewise, when you look through the Quran in its order, what is the first prohibition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to abstain from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, just towards the beginning, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So do not create rivals for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you know. This is the first prohibition in the Quran. So something we have to understand, brothers and sisters, is that Tawheed and Shirk go hand in hand. They complement one another. And how is this so while they are opposites? Like anything else, you cannot understand something or a concept until you understand its opposite as well. So one will not be able to perfect their Tawheed, or will not be able to perfect their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and singlifying Him out until they understand what shirk is and they understand how to abstain from it. And briefly, this shall be our topic for today. So what is the importance of understanding shirk? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, وَكَذَٰلِكَ نَفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. That thus we have clarified our signs and our ayat so that the path of the criminals and the disbelievers may be clear. Now why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to make clear the path of the disbelievers and the criminals? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this so that we may abstain from it. And this is further illustrated through the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he said, وَكَانَ الصَّحَابَةُ يَسْأَلُونَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ مَخَافَةً أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي. That the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to ask him about the good, and I used to ask him about the evil, for fear that I would fall into it. And then we have the prose where the poet said, عَرَفْتُ الشَّرَّ لَا لِلشَّرِّ وَلَكِنْ لِتَوَقِّيهِ وَمَنْ لَا يَعْرَفُ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعْ فِيهِ. That I learned evil not for the sake of practicing it, not for the sake of implementing it, but rather to abstain from it. For one who cannot differentiate between evil and good is bound to fall into it. So thus we learn shirk. We learn what shirk is, what does it mean. We learn what are the different types of shirk. And we learn the dangers of shirk, so it increases our fear of falling into it. So let us now take the dangers of shirk. Shirk is the only sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive. Think about all the sins that exist. Think about every single one of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His infinite mercy, will forgive every single one of them. He will forgive if you killed someone. He will forgive if you stole something from someone. He will forgive if you committed adultery. But the only thing He will not forgive is shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرِكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive that anyone should associate partners with Him. And He forgives anything other than that to whom He pleases. So now look at this. Brothers and sisters, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will forgive anything and everything except shirk. So now, is it not a great, great misfortune for the person who performs shirk and dies upon it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive him for this? So again, we see from this ayah the dangers of shirk. And likewise, the one who performs shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited for him al-jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. That those people, or whoever so, commits shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will be prevented from the hellfire. He will be prevented from paradise. Now, what is paradise? What is Jannah? Imagine in your mind the most greatest of blessings, whether it be from wealth, from cars, from houses, from women, from anything you could possibly imagine, from the best of foods. Now, due to a person performing shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would prevent him from this. So again, is shirk not something that we need to learn? Thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Az-Zumar, وَلَقَدْ أُوْحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَقْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Now this is a very important ayah, brothers and sisters, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directing and talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself when he says that, O Messenger of Allah, it has been revealed to you and those before you that if you were to commit shirk, it would destroy all of your deeds and you would be from the losers. Now we know for a surety and a fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not capable, and never did he commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving this example to show the severity of shirk, that even the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creation, the most fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who had the most good deeds, that even with his great amount of good deeds, if he committed shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would render his deeds null and void, would totally erase them and eliminate them. So now, how about those individuals, like ourselves, with few good deeds? With the act of shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases that all away. So will we not take the time to learn about shirk and learn to avoid it? And fourthly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is impermissible to seek forgiveness for those people who commit shirk. Now imagine this. When a believer dies, we pray his Salatul Janazah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them and to encompass them in his mercy. But if a person dies upon shirk, it is not permissible for you to seek forgiveness for them. Whether they be your fathers or your mothers or your brothers or your sisters or your children. Now, imagine this. That a close relative of yours dies upon shirk. You want them to be forgiven and you want them to enter Jannah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited you from seeking forgiveness for them. For which reason? It is no other reason than the fact that they committed shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is not befitting for the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those people who believe to seek forgiveness for the mushrikeen, regardless if they are the closest of relatives, after it has become clear that they are from the dwellers of the hellfire. And thus was the situation of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he could not seek forgiveness for his father because he committed shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus was the case of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he could not seek forgiveness for his uncle Abu Talib, the one who raised him in his childhood and took care of him and protected him. Why? Because he died upon shirk. So again, shirk is something very important that we need to know. And we need to not only prevent ourselves from falling into it, but preventing our family members as well. And fifthly, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe those people who perform shirk? After everything that has been said, we can tell shirk is something that is ugly and evil and despicable and disgusting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite wisdom, used the best words to describe them when He said, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجِسٌ. That indeed, the mushrikun are those people who perform shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are impure. And this impurity isn't a physical impurity, meaning that you touch them and you become impure. But rather, it is a metaphorical impurity, meaning that the lifestyle that they live, the shirk that they commit with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of this is impure, and all of it is despicable, and all of it is filthy. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the other hand, is tayyib, and is jameel, right? And such are the believers, and such is the beauty of Islam. And lastly, in seeing the severity of performing shirk, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in a hadith reported by Ibn Majah, لا تشرك بالله وَإِنْ قَطَعُوكْ أَوْ حَرَّقُوكْ. That do not commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if they cut you to pieces, or even if they light you on fire. This is Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressing his companions. So now imagine, if Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his companions to be patient upon this, it must be a great deed indeed. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. After having said all of that, what are some of the ways that people fall into shirk without realizing? One of the main ways that people fall into shirk without realizing is by vowing by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, مَنْ كَانَ حَالِفًا فَلْيَحْلِفْ بِاللَّهِ. That whoever is to take an oath, then let him swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or let him take an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how common is the practice that we say, I swear upon my mother's head, or I swear upon my mother's grave? All these actions and statements are impermissible in Islam. And the reason this is that the most important thing to us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person swears, he should swear by that which is most important to him and most beloved to him. Thus, out of the sanctification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Muslims we are not allowed to swear by anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example of ways people fall into shirk is by saying simple statements that we don't realize, such as, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have been in such and such state. Meaning that I wouldn't have attained such and such greatness. Or if it wasn't for you, my house wouldn't have been protected. Or if it wasn't for you, such and such good wouldn't have come to me. From the wisdom and beauty of Islam is that we attribute all good to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and to no one else. That's why Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard the companions say, "Ma sha Allah wa shi'at," that it was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your will, he said, "Wala taqulu hadha, bal taqulu ma sha Allah wahda." Do not say this, but rather say it was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So we need to be careful that even with these simple statements, we're falling into sin, even if we don't realize it. And thirdly, a person may fall into shirk by wearing amulets and bracelets. By wearing amulets and bracelets, thinking that they will protect him from any evil, or that they may bring about any good for him. Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam one day saw him wearing an amulet, and he said, "In za'ha, fa innaha la taziduk illa wahana, wa innaka law mutta wa hiya alayk ma aflahta abada." That Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhu narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that one day when he saw him wearing this amulet or bracelet upon him, he said, "Remove it, for indeed it will not increase you except in weakness." That means it will only make your soul weaker. And if you were to die upon this, then know that you will never be successful ever. And likewise, we have the hadith of Uqba ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man ta'allaqa at-tamima fala atamma Allahu lahu." That whoever hangs an amulet off of him, then there will be no protection from Allah for him. And likewise, in a similar hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man ta'allaqa tamimatan faqad ashrak." That whoever hangs this amulet or bracelet off of him, thinking that it will protect him from anything, or it will bring about any good, then he has committed shirk. And we have gone over the dangers of shirk. Not only does it prevent you from entering Jannah, but it makes the hellfire your abode. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls those people who perform it najis. And many other descriptions other than that. So after mentioning these three or four ways that people fall into shirk, brothers and sisters, we need to abstain and stay away from these actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath is upon. And we need to learn Tawheed and learn about those actions that will bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in ending off today, I remind you of a great commandment and order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he says, beginning with himself, "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنسانا وإذا أحييت أحدا منا فأحيه على الإسلام وإذا توفيت أحدا منا فتوفاه على الإيمان اللهم لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك وبك منك ولا نحصي الثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأقيم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد